Welcome to the Print Pod. Jyoti Malhotra wrote her column titled, Is France our New Russia? What Macron's re-election means for India? I'm Revati Karan and I bring you the podcast version of this article. Emmanuel Macron's victory has come not because he's a popular politician able to bridge both sides of the divide, but despite a weary population grappling with mounting inflation, rising unemployment and massive immigration. All issues that Marine Le Pen succeeded in bringing to the forefront of the bruising presidential campaign. Moreover, the hard-left candidate Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who lost in the first round 2 weeks ago, refused to ask the 7.7 million people who voted for him to back Macron. Meaning, Macron's victory doesn't mean France necessarily wanted him to be president, but that they wanted Marine Le Pen even less. So what does India think about an election playing out 8,553 kilometers away? In the good old days when the Indian passport wasn't encased in steel, you could drive from Delhi to Paris via Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkey, Bulgaria, Bosnia, Slovenia, Austria and Belgium. Today, a Schengen visa via France comes with several tough conditionalities, mostly aimed at plugging loopholes that intrepid illegal migrants may make use of to jump ship. This fear that illegals from developing nations may overwhelm majority Catholic France has become the new normal. Marine Le Pen has brought these concerns center stage and Macron hasn't been able to allay them. Still, the answer to who rules France is important. Not just for France or the European Union in which it is embedded or the UN Security Council of which it is a permanent member, but also for India. Why a reader of the print should care who sits in the Élysée is simple. France has occasionally inculcated the odd habit of doing something really different and almost getting away with it. Like the ideas of liberty, egalitarianism and fraternity the French Revolution espoused 223 years ago, which the Indian Constitution embraced with such fervor in 1950. Of course, France temporarily forgot those ideals when it pursued the colonization of Algeria some decades ago with exemplary vigor and passion. To its credit, it has tried to wear the warts from those shameful decades on its sleeve. Not that France has fully relinquished her colonies, there are still a few littered across the globe, from Saint-Pierre and Miquelon of the northern coast of Canada to islands in the Caribbean to French Guiana in South America to territories in the South Pacific like New Caledonia, Wallis and Futuna and French Polynesia, which together account for one-third of the Pacific Islands' combined exclusive economic zone. This, along with tiny territories like Reunion, Mayotte, Tromelin, and Elysius Parsis in the South Indian Ocean allow France the grandiose of self-perception of being called an Indo-Pacific power. Still back in 1998, when India went nuclear, France was the only major power not to have scolded Delhi. The US imposed tough sanctions, as did the UK. Even Russia, India's old friend, was quite irritated it had not been told in advance about India's intentions. But France understood. France is also the only other country besides Britain to have been invited as chief guest to India's Republic Day celebrations as many as five times, 1976, 1980, 1998, 2008 and 2016. Soon after India got a waiver from the Nuclear Suppliers Group in 2008 to conduct nuclear trade, France became the only other country besides Russia to sign an agreement to sell nuclear reactors to India. The French have sold Scorpion submarines and Mirage fighter jets and more recently Rafale jets, no doubt the defense deals have sweetened the way for a better diplomatic relationship. Leaders from both sides have used the highest praise for the other. During his visit to Delhi in January 2016, then-President Francois Hollande had said he was determined to consolidate the strategic partnership with India. Prime Minister Narendra Modi responded by saying, "India and France are made for each other." By 2019, when Modi returned as PM for the second time, the relationship was in even greater form. During his trip to Paris in August 2019, weeks after the government revoked Article 370 in Jammu and Kashmir and put half the political class in the former state under house arrest, President Macron made no comment about the violation of human rights in the state. In fact, at the UNSC closed-door meeting called by China in the wake of 5 August abrogation spurred on by Pakistan, France supported India's stand on Kashmir. Earlier too, the French had backed the UNSC resolution sanctioning Pakistani terrorist Masood Azhar, one of the 3 terrorists released in exchange for the passengers of IC-814 in Kandahar in 1999, as well as stronger FATF sanctions against Pakistan. Soon enough, many in Delhi and Paris began to call France India's new Russia. Certainly, Macron has been an interesting president these past 5 years, not least because he has spent several hours conducting shuttle diplomacy with Vladimir Putin over the war in Ukraine, but at the presidential debate, accused Le Pen of being a Putin spokesman because she allegedly took a loan of her 2017 campaign via a Russian bank. With the war in Ukraine in its 2nd month, although US politicians Antony Blinken and Lloyd Austin were in Kyiv over this weekend, the newly elected Macron is expected to put himself at the forefront of a united European Union front against Moscow. Certainly, the coming weeks will be interesting not just for the new French president, but for the rest of the international community too. Thank you for listening to the Print Pod. We will be back soon with another episode.